Hi, you are now listening to a sermon from Harvest Community Church in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. Today you will hear a sermon from Pastor Dave Lee, so without further ado, here he is.
Well, this morning I've been given a very short time to preach. You guys are so happy. That's my gift to you. So I'm going to make a deal with you. I'll try to keep you awake and engaged with God's word, but I really don't need to try because the truth is this. You'll hear a lot of talking, a lot of noise in this world, but you will never hear words with the same kind of power as the word of God. And my job today is not to entertain you or to make it interesting, but to make it clear so that God's word itself would speak to you. Every day of Advent leading up to today, we've been looking at a different word, and these are words that are put up here. It just so happens that the other church that worships in our building has been going through the same words for their Advent, and so they put up these words, and it worked out really nicely for us. Today we arrive at love, and the message is called the love of God. And I happen to be preaching from the same text that Drew and Yumi and Caleb and Zoe read from this morning during the Advent reading. So I want to read through those verses with you today. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. Here's what it says. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love one another. Let me begin this morning with a question for you. What do human beings need to stay alive and be well? What can't you live without? Can someone just shout out some answers? What do you have to stay alive? Water, for sure. That's the most important one. You can only go about 24 hours without water before you have big problems, right? What else do you need? Your dog. Okay. Sure. A lot of people are saying amen, yeah. But right after water or something wet to drink is food. We need food, and we need food all the time. That's why most people hate fasting, because our stomachs remind us we need food. And then we need a place to live, right? If we can help it. That's why homelessness is so hard, because we need a safe place to live. And that brings us to the second thing we need. Once we have all of our basic animal needs, food and water, shelter, what else do we need? We need safety, don't we? If you are in a time of war, or if there are wild animals all around, or if there are dangerous people around you, if there's disease everywhere, crime everywhere, it's very hard to stay alive and be well. But after all those things are met, do you know what scientists have shown? What God's word has already revealed is the next most important thing for human beings to live. You might be surprised to learn that after food and shelter and safety, the most important thing human beings need is love. Without love, human beings begin to die in their spirit. Love isn't just a nice thing to have. Without it, people cannot flourish. They cannot live and be well. And that's why all of us, the real story of our whole life after we've managed to stay alive as creatures is we have been looking for love in our hearts. We need to be loved. We want to be loved. We hope to find love from someone. I think that's one of the big reasons why people get so excited when they meet that special somebody, or they have children, or they meet a good friend, a new friend. They're hoping maybe this person will show me the kind of love my heart needs. But isn't it true that as much as we want love, as much as we need love, as much as we turn to other people and say, will you love me? Can we admit most of the people we want to love us have not loved us well? They try their best most of the time, but even then, sometimes they manage to hurt us, disappoint us, even do damage to us. And if we're honest, that's the imperfect way that we love everybody else too. Can you admit it with me that even the people you say you love most, sometimes you've let them down, haven't you? And so we need love so badly, and yet everywhere we look, we find only imperfect love. But here is good news. And that's what this passage announces. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. There is a love better than the love of people. And when we find this love, something changes in our life. Something changes in our world. It is a love that comes from God. And when we discover that love that comes from God, it changes the way we experience love. And it can even change the way that we show love to other people. Look at what verse 7 says. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. Why? Because this kind of love comes from God. When you read the word love throughout the New Testament, you might be surprised to find that in the Greek language, there are four different words for love, because there's four different kinds of love we experience in this life. The first of those loves is called storge love. That's the Greek word, storge. It means family love. It's the love that you have naturally for your own family, for your children, your parents, your brothers and sisters, grandparents, aunts, uncles. Isn't it strange that these people are just other people, but because they're your family, you have a special kind of love for them that's not like any other kind of love. That's why it hurts so much when families are fighting, because this is a love so important to us. And then there's this other kind of love called eros. That's the love between what you would see between a husband and a wife. It's that romantic love from which marriages are built, children are made. And then there is what we call phileo love, and that is the love between friends. These are not people we're related to, but these are people who have meant something to us. They've been kind to us. We've been kind to them. And friends can be friends forever. Sometimes friends can be just as close to us as family. These are three very important kinds of love that every human being seeks and finds sometime in their life, and they're important. But the Bible speaks of a fourth kind of love, and this is the most important kind of love, and it's the word that appears the most often in the Bible when you hear the word love in English. And the Greek word for this kind of love is agape. And agape love is God's love. It is, here's how I would describe it, okay? Here's the way that the New Testament describes it. It is a love that sacrifices itself. It's willing to do so much for the other person, and it's a love that serves, not because the other person is deserving, not because the other person is lovable, but because the other person needs that love. It's a love that is kind and generous. And the only place we find this love in perfect form is through the heart of God who loved us this way. This is the love we have always longed for, and we can't find it in any of these other places truly until we find it here. And then it changes the way that we're able to love all those other people. It changes our families, our marriages, our friendships, because we have learned what true love is from the heart of God, who is love. God doesn't just show us love. He's not just loving. God is love itself. Everything God does is motivated by love. And this godly love, agape love, doesn't ask anything in return. Now, let's be honest. Whenever you do something nice and loving to someone, don't you kind of keep score? Like, hey, that's not fair. I'm always letting you use my stuff. How come you never let me use your stuff? And most of us, the way we love is we keep score. I'll be nice to you, but you better be nice to me when it's your turn. But the amazing, miraculous love of God doesn't keep score. It loves without asking or expecting any repayment. It loves because it wants to love, and it loves because we need that love. The Apostle John, who wrote 1 John, his nickname for himself was the disciple that Jesus loved. How would you like it if one of your siblings said, I'm the kid that mommy and daddy loves? It doesn't mean that Jesus loved John the most, but what it means is that for John, the love that Jesus showed him was the most important thing about him. He could not get over the fact that Jesus loved him. And so of all the ways he could describe himself, that's the way he chose to describe himself. I'm the one that Jesus loves. And I can't believe that he would love someone like me. And John says about Jesus, he's the one writing these words. And he said, listen, anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. You know, it's easy to claim that I am a Christian, I am a child of God. But what John says is, do you want to know how you can know whether you were actually born again, born of God, made new? Do you want to know how you can know for sure that you know who this God is? You will know it because you will begin to be able to love the way God loves you. If you want to know how you can find proof for yourself in your own life of your Christian faith, it is not found in how much money you give away or how many teams you serve on. All those things can be important, but the real place where you're supposed to look to find out, do I really know God? Was I born of God? Is to see, how do I love as I move through this life? And what John says, what the Word of God says to us, is you will know you are a child of God and that you know God if you love with agape love. Anyone who does not love with agape love does not know God. For God is love. If God is love, then anyone born of God will resemble him, will bear some trait. Isn't it amazing? I've always wanted to do this, to have these friends that I haven't seen in years and have a reunion. But before we meet each other, we put all our kids on a stage and try to guess whose kid is whose. Because isn't it so weird that children inherit these certain traits, not just physical traits, but certain personality traits or behaviors or attitudes from their parents. Sometimes I could hear a kid talking and I'm like, I know who that parent is because I heard that parent say stuff just like that. We inherit things because we resemble the people we're born from. And if you are born of God, one of the most distinguishing marks of your life will be that you become a loving person with agape love, selfless, sacrificing love, that is joyful and unconditional. Not the kind of world, the love that the world shows, where if you love me, I'll love you. If I scratch your back, you better scratch my back. It is a very different kind of love than what the world will show us. And if you never experience or cannot give this kind of love, be careful about claiming that you were born of God, because those who are born of God will bear resemblance to their heavenly Father. One thing important about love is it's not just a feeling, but real love is always shown in some action. And God showed us how much he loved us in this one act in particular. He sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. Of all the things that you can do to show love, One of the most powerful ways is to give up that which is most precious to you. God loved us enough that the only son he had, we're all children of God, but you know what? Let me tell you the truth. You might be shocked to learn this. You're all adopted. Okay? God only has one natural born kid, and that was Jesus. The rest of us were adopted into the family through Christ, if you are a Christian. But he only had one begotten son. And he gave up that son as a way of demonstrating how much he loved you and me. We celebrate baby Jesus, but I'm so thankful that Audrey reminded us, we're not just celebrating a Jesus who came to have a normal and good life, live this world, and then leave. He came to die. And it says that because of him, we have the hope of eternal life. What that tells us is that without him, we have only the hope of death. Death is the end of our story. Not just physical death, but eternal spiritual death. That is our destiny apart from Jesus. But because God showed his great love to us, there's hope that the end of this life is not the end of our story, but that we could have true life, and that true life, which is really life, can begin now while we're still alive as we walk with Jesus in newness. The reason that our state is death and not life is because of sin. Sin breaks everything. Our sin breaks the rules of God. Our sin breaks the heart of God. Our sin breaks relationships with everyone, and our sin breaks the world we live in. Sin makes a mess of everything good which God made, and you can't just let it sit there and not deal with it. I want you to imagine if you had this thing that was the most precious thing to you, the thing you love the very most in this world, and imagine that someone, being careless, broke it, so that it was ruined forever. What if it was your younger brother or younger sister being careless and they broke the thing which you treasure the most? How would you feel if your mom or your dad just said, oh, don't be mad, just let it be, it's okay. Is that all right with you? No, it's not okay at all. Just because someone says to you, oh, don't worry about it, it's not a problem, doesn't make it not a problem, because for you, your heart demands justice. You can't just let something that bad just sit there and go, oh, let's just pretend it's not a problem. It is a problem. Something must be done for this universe to be right. And God is the same way. He made this perfect world, and our sin breaks that world. Can God just, oh, don't worry about it, it's fine? He can't do that. Something must be done to deal with the problem of our sin and what it did to this beautiful world which God made. And so he says that is why he sent his only son to die, so that through his death and his resurrection, his sacrifice would what? It says to take away our sins. The Bible has other fancy language to talk about that. I want to teach you quickly a couple of those phrases. Sometimes it says he was an atoning sacrifice. Can everyone say atoning sacrifice? Atoning just means there has to be some payment to balance things out. You can't just pretend it's okay. That's an easy one. Here's a harder word. Sometimes the Bible says Jesus is the propitiation for our sin. That's a harder word. Can everyone try to say propitiation? Propitiation. That's a smart church, man. You guys are a cut above. That's a hard word, but that's just another fancy way of saying someone has to do something to pay the price. I can't just pretend it's okay. But it has to be a price that is measurable to the thing that was broken. And we, through our sin, broke everything. And it took God's own son to be enough payment to satisfy the justice of God so that God could show us his love. Here's the amazing thing about this love. It's not just that he would love us this way, but Romans tells us that he loved us with this great love by sending Jesus Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. While we were still his enemies, while we were not lovable, when we're not even sorry, Jesus died for our sins so that when we fully see what he's done, when we are truly repentant, that great love can be received by us. There is no love like this in the world. Once in a while, sometimes people can manage to forgive their enemies. But this is a very different kind of love than the world you will find in the world. And John says, dear friends, if God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. What we celebrate at Christmas is God's agape love. And what we commit to at Christmas is to receive that love and then to share it with other people. And when I say that, probably your heart works just like my heart. I'm thinking of all my favorite people that I can't wait to love. I'm going to have Christmas parties with all my favorite people this year, and I'm going to see people I deeply love, and I can't wait to show them the presents I've bought for them. You know, in some cases, I went a little bit more than I planned to because I wanted to just show them, you're important to me. But you know what? You don't have to be Christian to love your people, do you? Everybody loves their people. Everybody loves people who think the right stuff, who act the right way, who are lovable, deserving, beautiful, attractive. Everybody loves lovable people. But the love of God is a very different kind of love. And I'll bring it to a close by saying Jesus reminded us how powerful, how different and strange this agape love of God is. In a sermon that he preached, Jesus said, but I say, love even your enemies. I want you to pause and think about that. Think about the kinds of people in this world you're tempted to hate the most. People who broke your heart, people who believe things that are disgusting, people who hurt other people, act horribly. Think of people in your life whose attitudes turn you off. Think about people who, the second you hear their voice, your heart closes up and you become cold. The love of God, this mysterious, strange, agape love, don't be too quick to say, I understand the love of God. I bet you don't really. I don't think I do. It's a very strange love because Jesus says, love even your enemies, the people you are most tempted to hate in this world. God's love will enable you to love them, to pray for those who persecute you, who treat you unfairly, who make unfair accusations against you. In that way, you will be acting as people who are the true children of your Father in heaven. Do you want to know that you were born of God? How else are you going to show it except that the love that God showed you to make you his child is the same love that comes out of you to other people? And he says, if you are only kind to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans, another way of saying, even those who don't even believe in God, don't care about God, even they do that. But the amazing love we're celebrating is not love for friends, love for family, love for my tribe, my people, but love even for those we are tempted to hate. That love you will not find anywhere else but the heart of God. That is the only love which we can call Christmas love, perfect love, God's love. And that love was first extended to you and to me before God ever asked us to share that kind of crazy love with other people. It may not come easily. It may not come quickly. Sometimes you will fail in this agape love, but if God lives in you, if you've truly been born of God and know God, in time, that agape love will rise out of you again. And if it never does, then chances are you don't really know God. You're not really born of God. You don't really understand what it took for God to be able to love you. There's not one of us in this room deserving of God's love. And yet God has loved every single one of us so much that he gave up everything so that we would be able to love him in return and have life. That's the story of Christmas. It's what we're celebrating. And I loved the children's skit because it reminded us, I love Christmas music, okay? I love decorations and lights. I love presents. Who doesn't love presents? And everyone knows, I love cookies. All that stuff is part of this holiday season. But what makes it holy, what makes it different, is that a love like we had never seen entered the world for the first time in the person of Jesus Christ. Have you ever thought it was weird that on someone else's birthday, we give each other presents? It's kind of a weird thing, isn't it? So can I make a suggestion to you? Would you first receive the gift which Jesus gave you, truly? In Korean culture, I was taught that when it's your birthday, you take your friends out and treat them to a meal. That generosity is a way of celebrating your birthday. And I think that's the way, maybe Jesus was Korean, because on his birthday, he gave us the greatest gift. And the first thing to do is before you give anything, receive that great gift. Do you have any clue how crazy it is that God would love people like us, knowing everything we've done, everything we think about, everything we feel, all of our imperfections, our inabilities, and yet God loves us so much. Don't just brush it off. It's crazy that he would love us like that, and yet he does. And the first thing I ask you to do this Christmas is to behold and receive this love. If you are a Christian and you're truly born of God, you say you know God, receive this love and ask God to let you learn how to love others this way. If you're not yet a Christian, I beg you to open your heart. Because to be a Christian is not simply a matter of believing ideas. It is not just believing. It is receiving something tremendous. A love that you will spend your whole life pondering and never really understand. This is not a love you can reduce to words and ideas. It is a profound mystery, this love that God shows us. And the first task of the Christian is not to understand only, but to receive a gift which God has offered. This is the gift being extended to each of you today. And it doesn't matter how long you've been going to church, this may be the first day ever in your life truly that you might open yourself to this gift. This is not love like you'll find anywhere else. And you'll spend your whole life looking and never find it the way it will be found in Jesus Christ. And his great love for you, even though you and I are so unlovable. And this year, instead of just buying gifts for other people, can I invite you to consider a recommitment to love God and to love other people with agape love? Every person, every animal is capable of romantic love or family love or friendship love. Even animals move in packs. They care for their young. They feed their babies. But this agape love, this supernatural love of God, self-sacrificing, serving joyfully without expecting anything in return, this is the love of God. And it is the love that God wants us to receive and then to show others so that this broken world can be healed by God's hand through us. Your love will not fix things because it's not enough. Only the love of God can fix things. And I challenge you, because I'll bet that if you could embrace and practice and receive the agape love of God, the relationships that are broken in your life would be fixed by the power of God's love. Your efforts to fix it through apologies or nice gestures will not be enough. The love of God is the only hope for broken things. And that love is very, very powerful. Receive His love and commit your heart to show it. Don't go the way of the world and think it's cool to look tough and hard and numb and unfeeling. It is ugly and broken, and there's nothing living about that. Life properly lived is a life full of the love of God. Choose love. Choose life. Respond to, receive the free gift of the love of God for you. And you'll be amazed how that love flows out of you and touches everyone around you. I've spoken long enough. I'm going to invite you now to just respond to God. And if you've heard this and God was moving your heart, can I invite you to just open your hearts and receive the supernatural, crazy, unreasonable love of God? Don't just focus on what you're supposed to believe and know and understand, but hear this. The greatest mystery of Christianity is this love offered to you. So undeserving, but so freely given. Receive that love through Jesus. When I say receive, there is a condition. And that condition is, first, you must admit, without that love, you are without hope. This is not just love to top off the tank, to bless your life. It's not icing on the cake. Without this love, you have no hope for eternity. You have no real source of power for the things that move your heart here in this life. And so the key to receiving this love is what we call repentance. Repentance is a way of agreeing with God that I am hopeless without you, that I have contributed to the breaking of everything. I am guilty. I need you. Your anger against my sin is justified, God. But I am sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for who I am. And I ask you, in spite of that, to love me the way you promised, to forgive my sins, give me hope. That is what I mean when I say receive His love. Instead of a closed fist, an open hand receives. So don't let your heart be like this. Let your heart open to the love of Jesus. Let's pray right now. And I want to invite you, wherever you are in your heart right now, to let go of that hardness, that clenched fist in your heart, and to open your heart to Jesus and say, I'm going to stop fighting you. I'm going to stop justifying myself. I'm going to repent, and I'm going to receive this great love. Let's do that right now. Let's pray together. God, each one of us in this room each one of us listening to this outside or online, we need to be loved. We want to be loved. We're looking for it. But everywhere we've looked, we've come up so empty because the world and the people in it cannot love us the way we need. But here in you is a love that is different than any other love. No one will love us the way you love us. Would you take our hearts and knock down those protective walls we've put up from the youngest to the oldest? Open our hearts to the agape, unconditional, joyful love of God. Why would you love people like us? And yet you love us so much that you would give what is most precious to you. God, we're sorry that we have rejected you, that we have defended ourselves, justified ourselves, pretended that sin is okay, that it's not a big deal. It is a big deal. It's broken everything. And we agree with you this morning that you are right to be angry with us. You are right to be so disappointed with what we've done. And you are the only hope that we have to be right with you and with everyone else. Help us, Lord, in this moment to repent, to stop justifying ourselves and cry out to you that without you, we have no hope. We need you. Come and forgive our sins. Cleanse us, make us new. And as we receive your love, start to pour your love out to the people we care about. Our broken, imperfect love has caused so much damage. Let your love now come flowing out of us like water in a river. Begin to heal marriages and family relationships and friendships and co-working relationships. All those people in our lives with whom we live in enmity. Heal our broken lives through the great love of Jesus received and shared. We pray for any who this morning invited you, received your great love for the first time, that you would flood into their hearts in a way they can feel. Let them know you are with them, that you love them so much, and that you not only love them, but you are going to make them new inside. Someone truly different, not by effort, but by a rebirth, you will make them new. Let them know this, experience this, the miracle of becoming yours. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. May you receive, may you be given hearts open to receive the great love of God. This love which was most profoundly shown in the sending and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. It is the love that we need more than any other love, and it is freely offered to you and me. Receive without charge. Let go of all your objections, all your rejections, all your self-justification. And let the love of God fill you, cleanse you, wash over you, flow through you. And as the love of God becomes the way that you love, may He repair every relationship in your life which is broken. For some of you this morning, you need to know that God's love is powerful enough to give you hope where you have lost hope. That is the amazing, powerful love of God. It is His gift to you. Receive. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, be blessed now and forever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon from Harvest Community Church. If you would like more information or have any questions or comments, check out our website at harvest-community.org. Thanks for listening.